The following podcast is part of the Underdog Sports Podcast Network. For advertising information or to find more great podcasts, visit us at www.theunderdogsports.com and follow us on Twitter at RealTheUnderdog.
And welcome to this special edition of Get Paid, your one-stop shop for all things fantasy, gambling, and daily fantasy. We are proud partners of Underdog Podcasts. You can also find us on Podcast One and streaming on YouTube at youtube.com/TheUnderdog. That's right, T-H-E, Underdog, if I'm going to spell that out. So, we aired the episode. This is, you know, divisional round of the playoffs and everything. We aired the episode where Brad and I kind of made our picks. We ran through the games and everything. Today, as I like to do from time to time, I'm bringing on Dave Mason from betonline.ag. And Dave's going to tell us kind of where all the money is going, what all the public thinks. But I thought what I would do before that, again, because, you know, a lot of this stuff is matchup based. A lot of this stuff is, injury based, right? Sometimes it's the healthier team can win the day and all that stuff. So I thought I would quickly run through game by game all of the injuries, see what the impact is, and then we'll play the Dave Mason stuff at the end of that. So let's just kind of dig in here. The first game of the weekend is Minnesota versus San Francisco. And I think this is an interesting one because, you know, look, everybody knows how good San Francisco was all year. And I would say that at the beginning of the year, a lot of people were very dubious about this team because they didn't know who they played and all this stuff. There's always excuses when a new team starts to ascend. And I remember this. I'm 37th going on 38 here. I remember very well when the greatest show on turf, the LA Rams teams, that team kind of Dick Vermeil, Trent Green got hurt, Kurt Warner came in, and everybody was like, you know, the Rams, they're the same old Rams. And, you know, never really even paid them any respect until they won the Super Bowl. Well, this year, I felt the same kind of thing with San Francisco. The thing to remember, and what I said, I think this is week two when I started putting them in my top 10. I was just like, this team is a different kind of team than what we're used to seeing, is because they had, the San Francisco 49ers had a defensive line that was playing as fast as any defensive line I've seen in a few years. The only one that I can remember that was close was the Philadelphia Eagles team that won their Super Bowl against the Patriots a couple of years ago. When you have a defensive line that can stop the run, can rush the passer, that helps the pass defense as well. And what we saw in San Francisco was their pass defense is lights out. Now, how do you attack the San Francisco 49ers? You attack them through the running game because that's really all you can do. You got to lean on the defensive line and see if you can fatigue them. And they kind of did that. So, you know, good for, or they can do that, I think, Minnesota Vikings. So good for them. I'm looking at their injuries right now, the Minnesota Vikings. The only person in terms of recent starters, this doesn't account for, you know, midseason injury, people guys going on injury reserve and all that, but Adam Thielen is questionable. He's a guy that obviously needs to play. I think he's going to have some opportunities in this game. So we'll see if Kirk Cousins can hit them. I still lean a little bit towards San Francisco. I'm looking at their injury report. Finally, they actually have a clean injury list. And another thing about San Francisco, what I've been saying and what I think it's easy to overlook if you don't dig into this stuff week to week, and I do, and we do on this show for gambling purposes, San Francisco's been injured. They've had like three or four key players out for like, gosh, I don't know, maybe 10 games of the season, and they still were fantastic. This is the healthiest this team has been all year, and I think they're going to be really tough to beat. If they can maintain their health, they might well be my Super Bowl favorite. I think I had them ranked third in terms of likelihood to win the Super Bowl. I'll update that. I think this matchup with Minnesota is going to be an interesting one. I think it's going to be more of a 15-round heavyweight fight rather than like a welterweight fight. I think this one's going to be a tough one, but there you go. Next game on our list, we have Tennessee versus Baltimore, and this is another interesting game to me. Now, I love Baltimore. I've been seeing it, for the last, 3 months of the season here. The Baltimore Ravens are a fantastic team because they can run and they can throw with precision when they want to. But the way to attack the Ravens, I think, is the way, you know, feeds into the strengths of the Tennessee Titans, and that is to say running the ball. Derrick Henry, we saw it against the New England Patriots last week. I think they're going to be able to run the ball and run it well. I do think that Derrick Henry will get yardage. I just think that Baltimore... And look, I know how well Tennessee's playing. I know how well Ryan Tannehill played at the end of the year, but I think Baltimore's just too much to handle this season. I still think that they're getting better. Adam Humphries is on the injury list. I don't know how major that is. I felt like he, It was more important for Humphreys to play against the Patriots last week. He didn't, and the Titans still won. I don't know how important Humphreys is to the matchup this week, but he is out regardless. And then inside linebacker Jayon Brown, we saw him get injured and try to fight through it against the Patriots, and it sucks. You know, he was crying the second time he got injured, and I can kind of relate. I mean, when you really want to be out there and your body's just not letting you do it, it really sucks. And you know, I'm sure he was jacked up to play. I haven't looked and seen how serious that injury is for the rest of the season, but he is still on the injury list, but he is out. So at linebacker in the middle of the field, which is where the Ravens attack, they have a key injury there. So again, that kind of favors the Ravens. Now on the Ravens side, looking at their injury list, Mark Andrews and Mark Ingram are both questionable, but I know they're both going to play. And their defense, which has been getting better and better and better as the season has gone on, looks pretty good as well. So you got to like that. You got to like the odds for the old Baltimore Ravens. Next game on the list here, we have the Houston Texans versus Kansas City Chiefs. Now this is a rematch. The Houston Texans did win. I'm looking at the injury list. Will Fuller is still questionable. The Texans need Will Fuller in this game. The last time the Houston Texans won, it was 31-24 early in the season. I think it was week six, if I'm not mistaken, week seven, somewhere around. I think it was week six. And, you know, the Kansas City Chiefs, this is before Mahomes had his kneecap injury and all that stuff. The Kansas City Chiefs defense has stepped up since then. You know, once that Mahomes injury happened, the Kansas City Chiefs defense stepped up and took a little bit more ownership for the team's trajectory in the season, and they've been getting better and better. Now, it helps that J.J. Watt is back to his full complement. That's going to help, but the Kansas City Chiefs, you know, J.J. Watt really helps, especially in the run game, if you look statistically, but the Kansas City Chiefs are going to be throwing over the top. The Texans can give up some yardage over the top. They have a couple defensive backs banged up, and Jonathan Joseph and Jahlil Adeyi. You know, I don't love this matchup. Kenny Stills is questionable. Darren Fells is questionable. Fuller, as I mentioned before, even Jordan Akins is questionable. They're just more banged up, I think, than the Kansas City Chiefs. And if I flip it over to the Kansas City Chiefs, their depth chart, Travis Kelce is questionable, but you know, he's going to play. Chris Jones is questionable. I think he's going to play as well. Kansas City, I think, has the more explosive offense. They're starting to peak at the right time. I don't think we've seen them at peak. And coming off a bye week, Andy Reid is very good. I do think Kansas City wins the day there and can get it done. And then lastly here, the last game of the weekend, Seattle versus Green Bay. We've heard that Marshawn Lynch is going to be fed a little bit more. You know, they say that Travis Homer is still the running back, but I think Marshawn Lynch is the guy to lean on. Left tackle, George Fant is questionable. Dwayne Brown is questionable. Mikey Potty is doubtful. Injuries, Seattle is only a plus 0.8 in terms of net points, so that's a little interesting. Ziggy Ansah is questionable. I don't love that, but Green Bay is an interesting matchup. It's not like they've been beating the crap out of teams in their own right. They've been winning a lot of close games. I will say that they have their full complement of offense, which is good for the Green Bay Packers. On defense, Kenny Clark, their nose tackle, Tyler Lancaster, defensive end, are both questionable. You don't like to see that defensive line banged up, especially against a team where in Seattle, where they, you know, they're going to run the ball and commit to that run. So it's going to be interesting. I think we're going to get a lot of good games. I think we're going to get a lot, just like a lot of like super high quality matchups here. And we're going to see a lot of dogfights this weekend. So I don't know that there's a bad game on the slate. I'm not changing any of my picks, but we're going to talk about those picks in a little bit with Dave Mason. But before we do, you know, I may as well just actually talk a little bit about BetOnline, our friends at BetOnline. NFL, college football, we almost have the playoff coming up here, the end of the playoff, I should say, with Clemson and LSU. You got NBA action, MLB is around the corner, NHL is certainly in full swing. It all continues to heat up this week. Visit our friends and exclusive partner of Podcast One, betonline.ag, to take advantage of the best bonuses in the business. Sign up for a free account and make sure to use that promo code PODCAST1 for your 50% sign up bonus. I love the matchups this weekend. Like I was just saying, Minnesota, San Francisco, Tennessee, Baltimore, Houston, Kansas City, Seattle, Green Bay. I think a lot of these games are going to be close. I think a lot of these games are going to be exciting. I don't know if we'll get multiple overtime games like we did last week, but still, I think there's going to be just NFL is king. It's just awesome. I love it. Just remember, everybody, go visit betonline.ag and don't forget to use that promo code PODCAST1 for your 50% sign-up bonus. betonline.ag, your online sportsbook experts. And I also want to talk a little bit about the Dan Patrick Show. If you're looking for the best coverage on the web, then check out the Dan Patrick Show on Podcast One Sportsnet. Join the sportscaster Monday through Fridays. He covers the biggest games all year long with a whole bunch of A-list guests from the world of sports and entertainment. Download new podcasts or new episodes of the Dan Patrick Show every week, only on Apple Podcasts and Podcast One. And now, everybody, we may as well bring on my friend. I've been talking to him for quite a long time. Let's talk to Dave Mason, the man from betonline.ag. I recorded this a day or so back, so we'll go ahead and play the tape now. All right, and we're here with Dave Mason, the man from betonline.ag. Dave, how you doing, man?
I'm well. 2020's off to a red-hot start, so NFL playoffs, got a national championship game, so good times.
Yeah, so how did the book do when, in the wild card weekend? I know there were a lot of, three. I was right. Three of the four road teams won. How did you fare in the book?
We did well. Saturday was great. First game on Sunday was great. We got beat up in the last game on Sunday. So, weekend as a whole, it was a really good weekend, especially that Saints-Vikings game. Blew out teasers, all sorts of stuff. So it was good. Good result for the house.
Yeah, you know, I that was the one game I lost the end of the weekend there, Seattle Philadelphia. I know you're a Philly fan, so my condolences to you. But I actually took Philly in that game, and of course, you know, when Wentz goes down there, it's over. And who can say for sure? But I really think Philadelphia was going to win that game if you played the full game, especially with how close it was, 17-9. You know, it's
they had their opportunities with their back, their 40-year-old back. That it was pulled off the streets at the beginning of the season. I mean, sharp money was on the Eagles, so doesn't always mean it's a winner. But it was with the odds movement and everything, with reverse line movement, sharp action, everything. Going into the game, the Eagles was the right side, but what can you do? That's why they play the games.
Yeah, I know. What can you do, right? I mean, I've had a lot of. I consider that a bad beat. I mean, I've had a lot of those over the year, but it's the law of averages. I didn't have. I will say this. I think you and I might have even talked about this the last time you were on the show. Usually, that stuff evens out. You know, you have a bad beat, but you get a lucky win. I had maybe one lucky win the whole season. So, I mean, it was just a lot of bad luck. I've been a bunch of pools, and I'm in basically everything you can be in terms of these things. And I specialize specifically in against the spread. I don't do mess around with a lot of over-unders or anything like that. But man, like there were a couple of weeks where I was, because I, in some of my leagues, I have to pick parlays. There were some weeks when I was going to have massive parlays and like something goofy happened, like a BS cover or an officiating mistake. And it's just like, are you kidding me? Come on, you know? And it's these things, like you said, it's the right side of it. You feel like you're on the right side, but it's just like, what can you do? I mean, it's sometimes it's a coin flip with these things. So.
Yeah. Like you said, long term they even out. You just gotta always think long term again.
Yeah.
Whether you're betting or you're booking, I mean, it's just a long term, and it's just I bet a lot of fights, and fight bettors are the biggest complainers because of the judges and all these stoppages and this and that and controversial decisions I sit with one guy all the time. He's always complaining. I gotta stop betting MMA. These judges. I'm like, dude, listen, man. I guarantee. You've lucked out on the wrong end of the decision just as many times as you got screwed. So you just got to keep thinking long term.
Yeah, and I'm a volume guy too, because I know my percentages. I've been keeping track of my stuff, and everybody has their system. But I don't wager like two or three games with all of my money. I'd rather wager like 10 games, because I know it's like a 401k. You're gonna have bad days, you're gonna have good days, but over time you grow. So that's the way I kind of look at it. Is if you hit your numbers, they'll even out. And I just happened to have, and it wasn't even a bad year. I think across the league, like all games against the spread, I was still like 55-56%. So that's above the pay line, usually in my top bets, I hover around 60%. And of course, this year, that was that 56 hover. And I went and I bet a lot more this year. And, in some leagues, they're like a winner take all leagues. And a usual average year, I would have done a lot better. But, it is. I'm not going to cry over 56%. I don't think a lot of people would.
No.
So,
You got everybody hit 56%. I'd be looking for another job.
Yeah, that's so. True. That's true. Well, let's talk a little bit about divisional round. So Brad and I did our thing early in the week, and and I think Brad and I actually picked. Brad went all home teams, and I went mostly road teams this week, or maybe I went 2-2, and then my computer was all over the place. So let's just start with the first game of the week, Minnesota, San Francisco, and let me pull up the current line that I'm seeing. For BetOnline is 7, which it started higher from what I saw, yep. And I thought that this game would get bet down to a touchdown game. And that's where I felt good, because I think San Francisco is going to win this game by about 8 points, but that 7's a lot to lay. Minnesota's very talented, but where's all that money going today? And Dave and I are recording this on a Thursday, so I don't think a lot of the sharp money's in yet.
Nah, nothing sharp on spreads yet. We do have some sharp total stuff that's come in. Mm-hmm. 60% of the early action is on the 49ers -7. Like you said, opened a little higher, just definitely too high. I thought it was way too high.
Yeah.
So it's -7, 60% early bettors on San Francisco. So that one could go either way. So
yeah. And my computer's we'll see, which.
That's 7 points.
No, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Dave.
No, I mean, I think, 7 points is a ton, I think, for a playoff game, for a good team Minnesota, but holy heck, San Francisco's look great this year. So,
yeah, they've been their defense has concerned me the last part of the year, but they also played some talented teams, so I can't really knock them too hard. And they've been that's the thing about San Francisco. Everybody was talking earlier in the season that they hadn't played anybody yet, and it's always something. There's always an excuse. You look at an 8-1 team or whatever they were, and it's like, well, who they played? It's like, dude, they're 8-1 in the NFL. It's like, right. Let's slow down on trying to find excuses why they're not good. And I was on them early, like probably 1 or 2 weeks into the season, because their defensive line is like a swarm of angry wasps. I mean, they're solid, but Minnesota has the offense, in my opinion, that you want in order to attack San Francisco, which is an offense that can run the ball and slow down the game. It's going to be a really fun game to watch. As an ex Redskins fan, I like the vindictive side of me loves this game, because you get Kirk Cousins versus Kyle Shanahan, two former. Right. It's always salt in the wound. But basically, you look at any team in the NFL, and they have some ex Redskins that are excelling. They don't keep anybody good, but that's a tangent for another day. But yeah, I my computers are split on this one. Even at 7, I think they lean a little bit more towards San Francisco now. But to me, it's still a little bit too close to call for betting wise. I tend to think San Francisco will win the game, but that's just too many points for me to lay down for this one. I could see it going either way, and it wouldn't shock me if Minnesota were to upset them based on the style of football they play. But it also wouldn't shock me if San Francisco comes out and wins by 10, or 20 even. So
yep.
I'm going to stay away personally. I don't see a lot of value in that bet, but I agree that it opened up too high. But Brad, meanwhile, by the way, he took San Francisco. I guess I would take San Francisco, just my gut. But again, I would not bet that myself. Next game on the list, though. I actually like the value here. I'd be curious to see where the money is going. I have a feeling I know where, but at Tennessee +9.5. My computer's like Tennessee. Brad likes Baltimore. My guess, Dave, and tell me if I'm wrong. My guess is the public is on Baltimore here. Am I crazy?
You're crazy.
Oh, really? They are.
Yeah.
They finally came back around to Tennessee then, huh?
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty even. About 56% of the early action on Tennessee. So, it is 10. They're getting 10 -119. So is that pretty close to +9.5? So it's a lot.
Oh,
of
my
points,
bad. Yeah,
it's a lot of points. And I think a lot of bettors are just so short term memory. They see what they did last week on the road, and now they're a hot bet all of a sudden. But then again, they're playing the Ravens, who've been walloping everybody this year.
Yeah.
And covering everything. And they're like 9-1, 8. Against a spread in the last 10 or something. So, it's hard to bet against that Ravens team this year.
Yeah, it is. It is. I remember early in the season when you and I were talking about the Patriots and they were covering everything, and we were like, geez, maybe we should just bet them blind. And then around that time, we had that conversation, Baltimore just started going on their run, and they've been nuts. Now, I actually think that Baltimore is – I think they'll win. I think a lot of people think they'll win, but I think Tennessee +10, that's too many points for me. Just because Tennessee can run we were talking about Minnesota a little bit ago. A team that can run, that's how you have to attack Baltimore. But don't sleep on Baltimore's defense, though. They've been getting better and better. I mean, I don't even know if they've hit their peak yet. That's the scary thing with Baltimore. They continue to look better every week. And they they just tore through Pittsburgh that last week of the season with their second unit. So it's going to be tough team to beat. Next game on the list, Dave, we have, let's see, the latest line I have for Bovada is Houston plus 9.5 at Kansas City. Did this open up at plus 7? I might have.
I forget where we opened at it. A little bit around there. It wasn't 9.5, I'll tell you that much.
I'm surprised to see that much movement.
Yeah, again, even action on that one, too. About 53% of the early bettors are on the Chiefs. You know, the spreads are so high, so that's getting the even action.
Right.
But with those spreads are in the in that range there where they're going to be teased. They're going to be teasing 9.5-point favorites, 7-point favorites, up to 9.5-point favorites. They're going to be teasing them down left and right. So,
right.
We're going to need one of these teams to win outright, one of these dogs, or we'll get murdered on teasers.
Yeah, I mean, Houston beat Kansas City early in the year. Now, Kansas City's defense is getting a lot better, is now a lot better than they were with the first time they played. Houston, I think, won that 31-24. I thought Kansas City would win this 32-24. So when the line opened, I was actually leaning towards Kansas City. But now that 10-point, I like that value for Houston. Yeah, I would swing that pick. Now, Brad likes Kansas City, but he liked them at 10. So, gosh, that's getting pretty close to his line, too. I was surprised. I haven't looked at I didn't notice that much movement between when Brad and I recorded. We only recorded like a day or two ago, so this has been a lot of movement on that line, but a lot of value out there. But let's talk about the last game of the week. Now, Brad can't bet a Green Bay Packers game because he just always picks the Packers regardless because he's a Packers homer. This line could be Green Bay minus 100. I think he'd still take Green Bay. But let's see. Latest line here is Seattle plus 4.5. I still like Seattle, and actually I was leaning Seattle to begin with. I think it's going to be a close Packers victory, but Seattle's the weirdest team in the league because they're like their net scoring margin is like plus 0.8. It's the worst of all the playoff teams. It's basically Russell Wilson willing teams to win. So I feel like he can keep a team or a game close no matter what. But where's the public going on this one, Dave?
Public's on the dog. 63% of the action's on Seattle, so... Again, you know, I mean, it's Russell Wilson, right, getting anything over a field goal, I think. I'm taking that, too. Plus, you know, they've been so good away from home this year as well. I mean, I think they're like 8-1 straight up and like 6-2-1 against the spread away from home. You know, everybody talks about the 12th man, but...
Right.
Both man, they didn't need it this year.
Yeah, you know, I was looking when Brad and I were talking this week. I was looking at net scoring margin, you know, home versus away, and they are far better away this year. And some of it has to do with strength of schedule. I think they got Baltimore and New Orleans at home, but you know, they're like plus 5 on the road, and then they're like, you know, maybe like, you know, plus like 0.3 or something. They might even be negative at home, so I'm not sure. But yeah, I mean, this whole narrative about the 12th man and all that, Seattle's actually been better on the road this year, which would surprise a lot of people if they don't pay as close attention to the numbers as people like you and me do. Betting enthusiasts, Dave, as we are. All right. Got any, you know, I'm not much of a college football bettor, but since we were talking about that a little bit before we started recording, or maybe just after we started, where's the money going? It's Clemson versus LSU this week. I got to feel like the money is going to be going towards LSU, but...
Oh, big time.
Yeah.
Big time.
Clemson's just one of those... It's almost like Seattle. Clemson's just... They just win games, you know? Yep. It's hard for me to bet, and I'm not college better anyway. Like, I have never had success getting into the mind of a 19-year-old boy. I couldn't even get into my own head as a 19-year-old boy, or young man. So I just try to stay away from it personally. But Clemson, man, I don't know how you bet against him, and everybody has been all year, it seems like.
Yeah. I think that spread's getting too high. I mean, 80% of the action is on LSU. I mean, it's going to be a huge decision. Also, futures-wise, it's going to be a huge decision for us, too. So we need... Clemson's a big win for us for the future, as well as LSU is a decent loss for us. So we're all the house is all in on Clemson. I don't know. I just think 5.5 points given Clemson now. I mean, taking absolutely nothing away from LSU and Burrow, but I mean, no, Clemson. They won 2 out of the last 3. They're there every year. They're incredible in bowl games over recent years, and then Trevor Lawrence under center. 5.5 points. I don't know. Might scoop that up.
Yeah, right. And like you said, they're there everywhere. I remember there were, you know, I don't know when this was, but there were some times where, you know, Alabama kind of gets in at into these playoffs or bowl games at like 10-2 or whatever their record is, and people are kind of sleeping on them because they're hotter teams, and then Alabama will go out and win the title, you know, and they'll shut and break people down. Now, I don't think Clemson's going to shut down LSU, and we saw what LSU did in the semifinal there, but Clemson, I don't know how you sleep on them, man. They have a program and they have an experienced quarterback, you know, that's not going to shrink in the moment. Going to be an interesting one. It'll be a fun game to watch. I think so. I think it's going to be a lot closer than some people think, especially down in the Bayou.
Yes, sir. Yeah. It'll be a great game.
Yeah, I agree. So, hey, man, I think that wraps it up. Do you want to give a quick plug to BetOnline? I love them, so, and I know you do as well. What you got going on there?
Oh, we got all sorts of stuff, man. Head over to the promotions page if you don't have an account and you want a bonus. We have all sorts. We got crypto bonuses, 100% crypto bonus, 35% crypto reloads. The welcome bonus is 50% welcome bonus with promo code BOL1000. Once again, all those terms and conditions and details are on the promotions page.
Nice.
BetOnline.ag.
Yeah, there you go. Get it. I always take advantage of those things. Crypto bonus, it's nice. Yeah, you know, just fund the account a little bit. Maybe put a little bit extra in there because I think Bitcoin might even be a little bit down, and then ride that wave too, right?
Why not?
Bitcoin millionaire, and then Bitcoin broke the next day. But nah, yeah. The crypto stuff is good, man. I love it. You know, it's just nice and easy. It's easy to get payouts that way too. So it's always a good thing. So hey, man, thanks for the time as always, and I know we're going to be catching up soon.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Enjoy the weekend.
All right, same to you, man. Bye. All right, and I think we can close the show out right there. Everybody, if you're playing Daily Fantasy, if you're making bets, I hope you all get paid. We will, of course, be back for the championship weekend. I can't wait. This is a great end of the NFL season. A lot of new blood at the quarterback position. So let's just see what happens, everybody. Go out, make some bets, get paid.
You want to get paid? Then get paid. Sean and Brad help you with the games. From the fantasy to the gambling, we the NFL experts help you win. You better tune in for the two hosts. They know everything from the players to the coaches. So get paid on a Sunday, because the team right here know the game the most. From Chi-Town to the Florida coast. Got swag, got butter with the toast. Brad's a washed-up model, don't hate on that. Sean writes the fantasy football almanac. So quit that losing time to win. We talk fantasy or real, whatever you win. You're going to wish this podcast never end. Now get ready for the best show to begin. Let's go.